right, so John, the only place I get master's scores is from Mason in Ireland. So,
really?
please fill us in. What has happened down at the holiest place in golf?
Well, what the main thing that's happened is the guy I took with the very first pick in the Masters draft, Bryson DeChambeau, might not make the cut.
Really? He's trying to overpower the course, and it's not working.
He's three over. Rory McIlroy's four over. Dustin Johnson is two over. The whole thing's a mess.
Tell him about me.
What about you, Michael?
What about you, Michael?
I'm even par.
Michael Thompson's even par?
That's right.
There's a professional golfer, Mace, named Michael Thompson. He's from New Zealand, right, Mike?
No, he's American.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He is even par.
That's right.
And in the clubhouse.
It's weird.
Wow.
But here, he doesn't spell it the proper way,
though. No, he spells it the wrong way.
The wrong way.
There are three guys tied at the top.
Okay.
Brian Harman.
Yep.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Uh-huh.
And I took him. He's a jerk. But he's my jerk, Patrick Reed, 300 on the 17th.
He's not a jerk. I like his passion.
What's the evidence that he's a jerk?
Yeah.
Fill us in on the jerkdom of Patrick Reed.
I just want you both to, while we're doing the show today, to Google Patrick Reed jerk and watch the cavalcade of stories that will come forward about Patrick Reed.
You mean the way he plays or the way he treats people off the course?
Both. Most of the stories will be the way he treats people off the course. He was kicked off his college golf team for cheating. He cheats a lot on the PGA Tour. All the other players have accused him of cheating. He doesn't care. He doesn't speak to his own family.
No, is that right? He doesn't speak to his own family?
He's like Mason. He doesn't speak to if somebody hangs up the phone on him, he's done with him.
Yep, I'm done. I still have not gotten that call back. Somebody hung up on me from my
Patrick
family
Reed
the other day.
I'm like,
I'm not calling you back.
Is the Michael Corleone of pro golf. He will slam the door in Kay's face when she betrays him.
Yeah, she deserved it.
He's that bad. What do you mean Kay did not deserve that?
Well, you know the story.
Whatever.
You know the movie. You know what she did.
My goodness. What did Kay ever do wrong?
No. Okay, we're talking about the Godfather.
The Godfather.
This is actually The Godfather Part 2. Kay.
No, Godfather Part 1 is when the door closes on Kay.
Yeah, she does. Didn't she do something really bad?
No, it's Part 2. I watched Part 2 last night. It's Part 2. Kay, she told people that she had a miscarriage, but she really aborted the baby on her own because she didn't, and she didn't want to tell Michael.
I
think she didn't want to bring a child into a life of crime.
Yeah, but I mean, Michael, doesn't the whole family into the life of crime mean something?
But she knew what she got into when she fell in love with him and married him.
Yeah.
So don't give me
that. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Hey, by the way, now, Ireland, we all know you can really play golf. You're a 10 handicap, and sometimes you can even break 70.
I can break 75. 80.
Break 80. What would you shoot in this setup on the Masters, and what would Mason shoot in this setup in the Masters?
What, lessons or anything?
Right.
Playing from these tees?
Yeah.
I don't think I break 100.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
If I get an average of 6 on every hole, that would be 5,408.
Would Mason break 200?
No.
Probably not. In this state, Michael, I haven't even taken golf lessons.
I
don't even have clubs yet.
Wow. But you must have hit golf balls. You must have played before at least once, right?
He played three holes with me.
I played three holes of golf in my
31.
Whole life. Michael, here's the thing. When I was a kid, there were two kinds of kids, right? There were kids whose families belonged to the country club, and then there was us. And those country club kids, they played tennis, they played golf. None of us did. It was those were rich kids' sports.
But didn't you have a public course you could play on?
There was a public course.
With rented clubs? You could rent clubs?
Yeah, it had a windmill and a clown's mouth.
Exactly. No, it was a very classy operation.
People are fascinated by this experiment we're doing because, first of all, they don't believe me when I say, Mason's never played golf, and I say he's never played 18 holes in his life, ever.
Correct.
Which is true, right, Mace?
Yep.
And so half the people that meet me say, well, you're giving them way too many strokes. Oh. 53 strokes is way too many.
Wow.
And then the other people, like Michael, say, oh, you've got him. He won't come within 50 strokes of you.
So I can't see it.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens when we actually
let's go.
Play.
18 holes. Mace is going to swing and miss at least twice on each hole.
Michael, giving me credit for practicing. I've just enrolled in the Penmar Golf Academy. Mm-hmm.
So that's 30. That's 36 holes, right? 36 strokes right there. He's not even going to touch the ball.
Yeah, trust me, Michael. I'm going to be good enough to win this match.
All right.
Good enough. I'm not going to be a great golfer.
Right.
But I'm going to be good enough to be competitive.
You know that you have to count those strokes.
That's right.
You have to count the ones
where you swing and miss stroke.
Try and hit it, but you miss.
Yeah.
Very common. The swing and the miss stroke you see all the time.
Oh, yeah.
By
absolutely.
The way, Michael, I owe you a little bit of an apology. You called it the other day during the Laker game. I know we're going to get to the Dodgers here in a second, but Michael, you called it during the Laker game when you said, hey, Ireland, all these guys coming off the bench are going to get suspended in this fight. And I thought,
yeah,
that's what David Stern used to do. Adam Silver is more lenient. And sure enough, today, three players suspended for coming off the bench, including...
I think the guys forgot about that rule because you haven't seen it in so long. It cost Fred Van Vliet $146,000.
Did he really? $146,000?
He was in street clothes. He wasn't even playing the game.
Oh, no.
THT is going to cost THT. He just took $10,469, Mace, and just burned it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't have that kind of money to lose. He's a rookie.
He makes $1.7 a year, so he can afford $10.
Yeah, we'll make that mistake again,
but
though.
$10,000
means a lot to somebody that makes $1.70 a year.
Yeah, here's the final verdict on that fight the other night, which really never escalated to what I would call
skirmish.
A fight.
It was a skirmish.
Yeah. OG Anunoby, technical foul, ejected, fined $30,000 for initiating the incident.
Feels right.
And for the Schroeder wrestling drop.
Yes.
Montrezl Harrell, and I'm still not exactly sure why Montrezl Harrell is getting so much punishment, but they hit him again today. $20,000 for aggressively entering the altercation.
Third guy in always gets the worst deal.
And then ejections for DeAndre Bembry, Fred Van Vliet, and Talen Horton Tucker, all for leaving the bench to join a fight. And, Michael, I thought they had kind of looked the other way on that rule, but I guess not.
No.
I guess you can't do that.
Yeah, I guess they still stand still strict about that because they don't want guys coming in and making it escalate to, you know, a big old baseball-type brawl.
You don't
want guys running in from the bullpen.
No. To do nothing.
Why doesn't baseball institute that, Mace? You're Mr. Baseball purist and aficionado here.
That's part of the game.
Really?
It's part of the
game.
That's, to me, and no punches ever get thrown. Nobody gets hurt.
Well, sometimes.
Very few people get jacked from
the
game.
Yeah, tell that to Don Zimmer.
There are exceptions to the rule, and you're pointing out an exception. But, I mean, for the most part, guys just come out of the dugouts and stand around.
Yeah, but that could possibly escalate things because one guy pushes one guy and he turns and retaliates. But if you told everybody, stay in the dugout, stay in the bullpen, just have the guys on the field get involved, wouldn't that like clean it up?
Yeah, I don't think there any. I mean, this is a problem and a solution in search of a problem. It's not really a problem right now.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday afternoon, Michael, I don't know, you probably weren't listening to the show.
I was riding my e-bike and smoking a Cuban.
Nice. That's an image. So Kenley Jansen was coming into a 2-1 ball game, 2-1 lead for the Dodgers, and I was very, very excited because I thought
you were the only one.
We are getting a Kenley Jansen save right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
He did not pitch well. He did not pitch well. And I want to, before we comment on this, I want to hear what Dave Roberts had to say about it. Dave Roberts, after yesterday's game, here he is on Kenley's outing.
Yeah, I just think today it was just about his command. You know, that's just uncharacteristic for him to, not have the command like that. You know, there were some misfires in there, some spike fastballs that just typically doesn't happen with him. So, we'll dig into it.
Here he is on what's wrong with Kenley.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things. I think that obviously the commanding of the baseball, which when you know that he's right, he does that. There's not balls that are going into the dirt or really missing a lot of glove side like that. And the characteristics of the cut fastball. So I think that's good, but it's just more of just commanding the baseball like we know he can.
And the last thing, here he is on, didn't Kenley have these problems last season?
Yeah, well, I mean, this spring he was really good. So, again, I think that as far as when I talk about spring, it's not really the results. It's about what I see with my eyes as far as with Kenley in particular, it's command of baseball. And I thought he did a good job that spring where these last two nights, it just didn't seem like he commanded like we've seen recently.
So, Kenley Jansen has a 5-out save on Saturday. And looked very, very good. He had it wasn't a save situation, but on Sunday, he closed out a 5-1 win, and then struggles and winds up blowing the save yesterday in Oakland against the A's. By the way, Dodgers have their home opener tomorrow. If you're lucky enough to have a ticket, woo-woo, back at a ball game live. So, John, I still believe Dave Roberts goes back to Kenley Jansen. I am not wavering at all in my support. And part of it is I don't see another good option. Just looking at their bullpen right now, I don't see another clear closer option. With the exception of, you could make a case for Corey Knable, who was once a closer for the Milwaukee Brewers and gave them a clean inning yesterday.
All right, are you done?
I was just laying out the case, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Are you ready to start?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and start.
I wanted to appeal to your sense of objectivity. I want you to look at this objectively, okay? I'm going to give you some facts.
Okay.
Kenley Jansen's ERA in the postseason last year, when the Dodgers won the World Series, was 5.14,
yes,
and he blew one save in three chances.
By the way, let me add to your case.
So you're going to continue to talk?
He's blown more saves than any reliever in the World Series in history. Nobody has blown more World Series saves than Kenley Jansen.
Okay,
I think that helps your case.
You like to cite that last year he had 11 saves and 13 chances. My argument is you can't trust him anymore. In 2019, he blew 8 saves and had a 3.7 ERA. In 2018, he blew 4 saves and had an ERA over 3.
Yeah, but you'll take 4 saves.
He also blew 2 saves in 5 chances in the postseason. He's been the Dodger closer for 10 years. It's over. Mace, I saw you tweeted that you still believe Kenley Jansen's going to save 35 games for the Dodgers. All right, so I've got a proposal for you.
Because I've already got $10,000 mythical dollars on this.
Okay, I'm going to put a major bet on this, all right?
Okay. Yep.
I don't know if either one of these will cash in.
All right.
Okay? If Kenley Jansen has 35 saves for the Dodgers this year,
yep,
I will give you $50,000 of my mythical money.
No way.
If Kenley Jansen is not on the Dodgers roster when the postseason starts, you give me $50,000.
Oh, I'll take that in a second. Kenley's
Michael,
not going
which
anywhere.
One of us has a better chance of winning that bet?
I think Mace. Well, I think Kenley will be there on the postseason roster. He might not be the closer.
Do you think he'll have 35 saves?
No, he won't have 35 saves.
Yeah, well,
neither one of us would cash in. But
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the save, 44, 36, 47, 41, 38. I mean, the guy saves games.
Mace,
here's part of it, John.
Trust him.
Part of it is there are so many regular season games, and they don't have a clear other option. They could go to Knable. By the way, a lot of people go to Brusdar Graterol. Brusdar Graterol does not have closer stuff.
What do you have against Trinan?
I love Trinan. So what's the toughest job in a bullpen? I've done this before with you, but what's the toughest job in a bullpen? It's to come in the seventh inning with a runner on and one out. That's the job. That's the job. The toughest job is that guy. That's where I want Blake Trinan. That's the most important role. The most important role is that, not closer.
Right, but leave him in. If he comes in that situation and he gets two outs, let him pitch the eighth. And if he pitches the eighth, let him pitch the ninth. What do you think they did last year with Urias in the game-deciding World Series?
They're not going to do that this year. They're not. And by the way, they may in the postseason, but they're not going to do it in the regular season. I think it's a long haul, and I think Kenley's going to be okay.
I don't know how you trust this guy.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, we'll let you know that Lindsey's brother, Steven, is live from Augusta in about 20 minutes from right now.
Really?
So we've got a live report from Stephen Fulton from Augusta.
Wow,
he is our
master's
correspondent.
Well, wait till you hear what he has to say about it, John. You're really going to be jealous. This is the
Lindsey,
year to go to the Masters.
Your top pick, Justin Thomas, who I thought was going to win, is also 3-over, just like DeChambeau. Your top pick and my top pick may not even make the cut.
Oh, don't make the cut. It's still early.
It's still early.
What's happened to Rory McIlroy's game, John?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you hold on,
leg.
Hold on Rory McIlroy's game, Michael. And that's a great tease. Coming up next, the latest on Rory McIlroy's game.
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be the next Tiger.
The very latest. And Kenley, what do you do with a problem like Kenley? 877-710-ESPN.
How do you solve a problem like Kenley?
Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
How do you take a cloud and pin it down?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again, Chris Morales' job is it's just to embarrass all of us daily. Sorry about Lindsay. Sorry, nobody told me there would be math. That was tricky. That was very
Lindsay,
tricky.
When we hired her, we did not tell her that she had to have math skills.
Exactly.
I'm horrible at math.
Don't forget, it is Masters Week. We're giving away a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops every day this week. We will do it next hour. Swing by Roger Dunn Golf Shops and get custom fit today and shop them online, worldwidegolfshops.com. All right, so I've made an impassioned plea on behalf of Kenley Jansen. And let me just say one thing about Kenley. I've had a chance to be around Kenley. From when I was doing locker room for Sportsnet LA. Super great dude. Like, really, really great guy. A guy that if you meet, you would wind up rooting for without question. And I still go back to his spring, John. I go back to his spring in which he had a 1-2-3 ERA in 7 1/3 innings, 13 strikeouts, and 2 walks. He's walking too many guys now. That's the problem in the last couple of days.
You can't trust him. He's not reliable, and it's totally predictable to somebody who is objectively looking at this. You've got this thing that maybe that's it. Maybe it's personal with you. You think because he's a great guy that he's going to succeed. It has nothing to do with the fact he's a great guy. He can't pitch anymore. Here's Mike in Monrovia. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey, yeah, I agree with you, John. I mean, you can read it on his face. I mean, every time, you know, he gives up even a deep fly ball, he has that look on his face like, oh, my gosh. But the bottom line is, too, I think we're not taking into account is plays like Will Smith behind the plate, who I love and should play every day.
Yeah.
But the guy catches not in a squat position. He catches in a left knee down position, and he's unable to make a play on a wild pitch to his right side that is totally stoppable, but he didn't make the stop and the run scored. So we can go back to that run as well. But I think the bottom line is with Kenley, the guy just doesn't have command of his pitches. He loses his speed in his pitches. All these things add up, and, you know, it's going to cost us games. And Blake Treinen has the makeup to pitch in the ninth.
But do you see what I'm saying about Blake? Do you see what I'm saying about Blake? I think pitching the ninth is much easier than pitching the seventh with two runners on.
But
that's the high leverage position.
But at least you have a chance to come back if Kenley blows the game in the seventh. You know, you don't have any chance to come back when he blows the game in the ninth.
Yeah, I don't want Kenley in the seventh.
I don't want Kenley, period. Yeah, he's been a great Dodger.
I want to, by the way, react to a lot of people are saying on Twitter, saying Brusdar Graterol. Brusdar Graterol has had 13 strikeouts in 23 innings last year. He is not a strikeout guy, and you need a power strikeout guy to be your closer.
Although he throws 100 miles an hour.
He does, and yet for some reason pitches to contact. And you don't want somebody pitching to contact.
Well, Treinen throws a 100-mile-an-hour sinker.
Correct. And he got dinged up the other night.
Yeah, I would rather see anybody out there than Kenley.
Richie. The guy that's closest is Corey Knebel. Knebel has thrown in 3 games now, 2 1/3 innings, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's the closest thing to closer numbers on the staff. I would argue Victor Gonzalez could also be used in a closer situation.
Anybody but Kenley. Here's Richie in Chatsworth. Hey, Richie, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, Richie, how you guys doing, man?
Good.
What's going on?
What do you think, Richie?
All right, man. Here's my take, brother. Look, it's a long season, like May said, so I do think that Kenley has a shot at getting the 30 or 35 saves, but he's not my guy for the ninth inning. I would go with Treinen, and as far as having a power pitcher in the ninth, I mean, the Yankees went years and years with Mariano Rivera really not being a power pitcher and getting strikeouts. He had that cut fastball that he would get a lot of guys to ground out on. So I don't think we need a strikeout guy in the ninth. But me personally, Kenley's not, he's not the guy for us. I would go with Blake Treinen. I feel like he's got more success. And as far as the seventh inning, I mean, we can find somebody else to fill that hole. We've got a lot of arms. I would just go with Treinen in the ninth. But I do still think, since I know Roberts is going to use him, he will get those 35 saves.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. See, that's what I think. Over 162, Kenley is going to get those saves. He is going to get those saves. He's not going to get everyone necessarily. And, you know, this was a case where he pitched on back-to-back days. He may not pitch on back-to-back days anymore, but he's still going to get his share of saves.
It's a performance-based business. He doesn't perform anymore. You just can't keep trotting him out there if the rest of the team doesn't trust him. And I think that's where you're at now. The rest of the team doesn't trust him. So, I mean, you gotta be put out there to get those saves, and I just don't think he is.
You know he's going to go back out there, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, this week he will, but I think in a month, Dave Roberts has to say, look, the proof's in the pudding. This guy can't pitch.
You know what's interesting? This is something I noticed. The Dodgers, who I think led baseball in home runs last year, have 7 so far this year. And as it turns out, they've done all sorts of research studies already on the baseball, and they're saying the baseball is traveling on average 15 feet less than it did last year. So this experiment of deadening the baseball and keeping the ball in the park is officially underway. And as I remember, you don't like that.
I think they should have as many home runs as possible. By the way, I know they officially have 7, but they really have 8 because Bellinger hit one out, and they that stupid base running rule cost them a home run.
Well, I would argue they actually have 7 because one was a inside the Parker.
You
could make that case too. But in any event, they're not hitting with the power that I expected them to right out of the box. And I think it is the deadening of the baseball, which I think is really, really good for the game. I've already seen a suicide squeeze this year. I've seen teams play small ball because the ball is not automatically going to leave the yard. I saw a hit and run. That's something you don't see very often in Major League Baseball. Hasn't happened in a while. I think if we get to the point where the ball stays in the yard more often, we're going to wind up with more action in the game as opposed to that stationary, station-to-station baseball, sit back, either strike out or hit a home run that we've seen the last couple of years. More action is better for the game.
Here's Adam in New York. Hey, Adam, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Adam.
Good. So I have a feeling like you guys are both actually having sentimental feelings about both Kenley and Mark Gasol. I think less so Mark for John, but I obviously wanted to pay it forward for Pau. But I think you're both kind of off on both sides. You want them both to succeed, but you don't know, like, if they've still got the stuff. I think, obviously, with the Mark thing, it's kind of like, obviously, we have a replacement for him or two replacements for him. And with Kenley, it's less obvious. So I'm just curious,
Adam,
because I feel like you guys are arguing the same things, but for different people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You're
but
very
Adam,
sentimental about Mark Gasol. I think Gasol's having a terrible year.
Here's the difference. Mark Gasol's never out there when the game is on the line. He's not in the closing lineup. Kenley Jansen's being asked to close.
To be honest,
if they want to pitch Kenley Jansen in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, go ahead. With the game on the line, you can't trust him. And he has too much heritage. He's got too much history. I mean, the guy might go to the Hall of Fame. You can't disrespect him by throwing him out there in the bullpen and never pitching him. That's why I think there's a chance he won't be on the roster in the postseason. Because you can't disrespect him if you're not going to use him. Kenley Jansen's being asked to close games. Mark Gasol isn't.
I'm not going to write him off after 3 2/3 innings. Now, you might after 3 2/3 innings.
I'm writing him off after 2018, 2019, and a postseason in 2020 that was disastrous.
But had a great regular season. Again, it's a 162-game season. Had a great regular season. 11 of 13 in save ops, you take that.
Okay, I just don't trust the guy, and I think most Dodger fans don't.
All right, well, time will tell. Time will tell. When Kenley gets a save tomorrow against the Nationals in the home opener, that'll shut some people up for a while. All right, coming up next, we've been trying to get this guy on the show for a very, very long time, and finally we've been able to do it. Stephen Fulton, who is a distinguished golf reporter, has covered golf for many, many years, is actually at Augusta, also happens to be Lindsay's brother. Stephen Fulton will join us coming up. Don't forget Fast Track at 1:55. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, he's going to join us here in a second. This is a very funny DM I just got. I hung a poster of Kenley Jansen on my bedroom door, and now it won't close.
There it goes.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Thank you very much to Bruce Regis for that.
Earlier in the show, Michael asked me what has happened to Rory McIlroy, who's like my favorite golfer from Ireland. I actually know the answer. McIlroy has admitted that he played a round with DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And he got jealous of how hard DeChambeau swings and how far he hits the ball.
Uh-huh.
So Rory's been trying to copy DeChambeau's swing, and he can't do it.
Yeah.
And now he's all messed up.
That's what I need a swing doctor. I need to rebuild my swing, I think, from the ground up. What do you guys think?
I think you swing take the word, I think you take the letters re off of the build your swing.
If you put the word out there, guys, makes a lot of golf pros will volunteer to work with you.
I know. It's out there. VeniceMesa@gmail.com, especially if you're in Venice, Santa Monica, Culver City,
well,
that area.
Ireland, you know golf. Why don't what's the best piece of advice you could give Mace as he gets ready to address the ball?
Swing slow.
Swing slow.
But if he swings slow, the ball will only go 80 yards.
Yeah, but I mean,
slow and steady wins this race,
Michael.
When
you're first learning how to swing, Michael, don't you think the biggest mistake people make is they try and swing too hard?
Yeah, they try to kill the ball, right? It's a smooth swing. You got to swing hard, but swing smooth, Mace.
Swing smooth.
Yeah, don't try to put both cheeks into it. Put one cheek.
One cheek. Okay, got it. Is Lindsay's brother going to flake on us?
Yeah, well, we're waiting on him.
Okay.
You know, that was a very tough booking.
Yeah,
so,
clearly.
You know, he doesn't have a phone there. They have to call from a courtesy phone
because they
don't let you have your cell phones in there. So
wait a minute. When you walk in, they take your cell phone?
Oh, yeah. You're not allowed to have your phones in there.
Is that right?
Yeah. They will pat you down and search you for them.
No.
And if they catch you with one, you'll get kicked out.
That would probably keep you from going, wouldn't it?
Well, all the rich people would keep me from going.
Yeah,
not anymore, Mace. You got ordinary people out there now. If you can get tickets
to Augusta,
yeah, but you got to have connections.
I hate that whole attitude about Augusta. I just hate
too hoity-toity.
It's the
sacred ground of golf.
Dogwoods. And
yeah, it is kind of cool. Clay got to play on it with a bunch of Warriors, and he said it is all that is hyped up to be. He said not even a blade of grass is out of place.
Well, while we've got a minute, Jorge, follow me here. 20 years ago today, Tiger Woods won the Masters, completing the Tiger Slam. Do you have that there, Jorge?
A streak that started at Pebble Beach, a place to start some kind of new configuration of a slam started.
Well, think of where the slam is.
Started at Pebble?
Pebble Beach, St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. Augusta.
There it is, as grand as it gets.
What a way to cap it off. Perfect speed, perfect line.
And Tiger has his slam.
Something I never dreamt that I would ever see, or ever thought that anyone could ever do. I think it's the greatest feat I've ever known in all of sports.
Wow. That is four consecutive majors ending with the Masters.
Wait a minute, Michael. Other people had achieved the Grand Slam before,
haven't they? Bobby Jones, but that doesn't count because that was a segregated area. Bobby Jones did it
It was ancient.
Yeah, but Tiger did it in all its all-inclusive
tour. But nobody
tour.
From Ken Venturi's era? Not Jack Nicklaus?
Just
not Byron Nelson?
Just Bobby. Nicklaus never did it. Palmer never did it. Just Tiger and Bobby Jones, I believe. That's it. And it's not a Tiger slam. It is the slam because it's four in a row.
It's not four in the same
season. So what? It's four in a row. Four in a row is a slam. Serena did the same thing in tennis, too, and they said, that's not a Grand Slam, it's a Serena Slam.
It's not a Grand Slam. By definition, it's not a Grand Slam.
The definition of a Grand Slam, if you win
four in 1 year. No,
that doesn't say that in any rule book. It says if you win four in a row, that's a slam. Did he win four in a row, Mace?
He did, but not in the same season.
So what? Why are you hung up on the calendar year?
The traditional slam is you win four majors in the same year.
Where is that written in the golf rule books?
I don't know, Michael. I don't have any golf books in front of me.
That's why.
John, is that a slam? Is that a grand slam or no?
I think calling it the Tiger Slam is the way to go.
Yeah,
I think that when you say grand slam, what people would think, because there's four majors in every calendar year, they would think you won all four in a calendar year.
He did. He won all four within a year.
Right,
within a year, but not in the
same
season.
Well, you guys are just getting too
I don't think it makes it any less impressive. Yeah.
Well, it kind of does.
No, it's still unbelievably impressive.
It is.
Still nobody's seen it happen. It's just not the Grand Slam.
We forget how great. You remember the 1 year Ireland that Tiger won seven tournaments in a row? Remember that year? You know how crazy that is to even say?
Oh, yeah.
He won seven tournaments in a row.
So one time I got to play golf with a tour pro. All right? It was in Idaho.
Yep.
And a guy named Andrew McGee works for the Golf Channel. Great guy. And I said to Andrew McGee, I go, hey, who's the best putter on tour? And he looked at me and he goes, Tiger. And so I can save us all time. He's the best driver on tour. He's the best iron player on tour. He's the best short game player, the best long game player. He's the best at everything. So don't ask me any more questions like that.
Yeah, he's the greatest golfer ever.
Tiger is.
Okay, and I think online right now is as golf journalist Stephen Fulton. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on. How are you, man?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, good. Stephen, first of all, how did you get tickets to the Masters?
My brother-in-law, he works for Lift One, Joe Phelan. He's a really nice guy, and kind of last minute, and we're down in Hilton Head on vacation. He's like, hey, I think I got extra tickets Thursday. You guys want to go? And I'm like, yeah.
So you've never been to the Masters. Do you classify yourself as a golf fan?
Yes, definitely.
Do you golf yourself?
Yes, all the time. I try to, at least.
Okay, good. So what's the environment like inside? I know the attendance is kept to a lower number. What's it like inside Augusta right now?
So my first time, I mean, it is awesome here. I mean, we've been able to walk up and see Phil and, I mean, everyone, and walk up right up to where they drive from, no problem. I mean, any view we want, we've been at 11 and 12 a lot. I mean, it's just, there's no one here. I mean, and I keep asking, he's been here before, and he's like, this is unheard of. Like, he's like, usually we're 20, 30 rows deep here. You have at least 10 rows of chairs. He's like, this is unheard of. This is crazy. So, I mean, I'm spoiled right now. I feel like being a first time coming here, I mean, we're able to just go up and see any golfer hit. It's pretty cool.
We always hear on TV that television doesn't do it justice and how hilly the course is. How hilly is that course?
That is 100% correct, because I watch it all the time, and, like, you know, even playing it on, like, Tiger Woods or whatever, and I'm like, holy, you come here and you're like, wow, it is so hilly. It is, you know, extremely difficult, and you just, you know, they're hitting it, and you're just like, the TV does not do it justice, for sure.
Hey, Stephen, we're talking to Stephen Lindsay's brother, who's lucky enough to be at the Masters. He's at Augusta right now where they're playing. Stephen, is it true they take your cell phone? Did they confiscate your cell phone when you came into the course?
We just left it in the car. You just can't bring it in. They go through a metal detector and all. They, you know, pat you down and stuff. So you can't bring anything in.
And is it true the food is all super cheap, like really affordable?
It is amazing. I mean, so we had like three or four beers. We had like three or four sandwiches, and I think it was like $23. You know what I mean? So it's all the sandwiches are $2-3. The beers are $2-3. It's cheap.
So who have you followed? Who looks good?
Honestly, everyone. I mean, we've been following. I mean, John Rahm. We got Phil coming up right now. We were following Dustin for a little bit. I mean, everyone's looking good. There's been some good, you know, good shots. Some, so we saw a couple on number 12. We saw a pretty crappy slice. He sliced it over in the fairway. My one brother-in-law actually goes, why is he laying up on a par three? And we're like, he wasn't trying to lay up there.
Have you seen Bryson DeChambeau tee off and describe what it's like? Because he hits the ball a million miles. What's it like if you saw him tee off?
I mean, he just looks like he's just trying. Like, I mean, he just he looks one of those guys from the long drive competition. He's just trying to like smash it. I mean, he's just, you get to see him putting everything into it.
All right. So last thing for me, Stephen. You know, we've been working with your sister now for over a year.
Yeah.
What dirt do you have on Lindsay that we can use to embarrass her when we need it?
No dirt. She's a nice lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're finding that to be the case, actually. She is. And you've done a really good job out there, Stephen. That is excellent. Oh, yeah, any celebrity sightings? Any
oh, yeah, we people? Did. So I actually talked to Pat Mahomes.
No way.
I walked up to him. So we saw him initially, and I was like, oh, there he is. He was on the other hole. And then it was kind of funny. He was back over at number 12 that we were at, and so I walked up and actually borrowed a pen from the lady at the front, and I was like, hey, can I borrow your pen? And I walked up to him and go, hey, Pat, how's it going? He's like, great. And I go, hey, man, would you mind signing this real quick? He goes, he was standing next to his buddy, too, and he goes, I'm sorry. They told me when I came here I'm not allowed to sign any autographs. And his buddy's like, yeah, sorry, man. They won't allow us any autographs. And I was like, cool, no problem,
that
man.
That sounds like Augusta. Yeah, that sounds like
it. We also saw Dwayne Wade, Travis Kelce, and Trevor Lawrence.
Nice.
Wow. Trevor Lawrence.
Well, it sounds like it's a good time down there, Stephen. Thank you very much for checking in. We appreciate it. Your sister is a very nice lady, as you said.
Yes, she's a nice lady.
Cut that one and use that as a drop.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Stephen.
Hey, thank you, Stephen. Have fun down there.
All right, thanks, take care. Bro.
She's a very nice lady.
Did you notice that Stephen sounds like Lindsay?
Yeah, I know.
He's terrified of me. That's why he can't say anything.
Is he older or younger than you?
He's my baby brother. He's the youngest of the family.
Okay, got it.
All right, so, John, coming up next for you, and at 1:55, we've got Fast Track, so make sure you're here for that. Coming up next, something that happened 47 years ago today and a job I would like to see done away with altogether.
Okay.
Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Morales, I'm just telling you to be nice. All right, so yeah, I'm bad with math too, bad with numbers. 27 years ago today, hard to believe it happened, 17 years ago today. All right, so John, 47 years ago today. 47 years ago today.
What year is that?
1974.
Okay.
A man named Henry Aaron stepped to the plate.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. As Aaron circled the bases, the Dodgers on the infield shook his hand, and that was a memorable moment. Aaron is being mobbed by photographers. He is holding his right hand high in the air, and for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous strain and relief of what it must have been like to live with for the past several months.
All right, there is the great Vin Scully on the call. That is the record-breaking home run, number 17 for Henry Aaron. 47
number 17.
Years ago today.
You mean 715th?
715, sorry.
17, I could hit 17.
Bad with my numbers.
I want you guys to interpret an Instagram post for me.
Okay. I'm good at this.
All right. It's a picture of LeBron and Anthony Davis in street clothes sitting on a scorer's table applauding. Like cheering on their team. So it's LeBron and AD. And LeBron captions this. He just posted this on his Instagram.
Okay.
The weatherman says the weather is changing soon, and it predicts a thunderstorm. Thunder is coming. Folks, prepare and take proper caution and measures to stay safe.
Wow.
Isn't he hinting, Michael, that they're about to come back?
Yeah, that's obvious. He and AD are close and could be back maybe after this road trip.
The weather will change soon. Mm-hmm. The thunder is coming.
Speaking of Amanda, are you on?
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to mention something.
I am here.
Oh, no.
I'm getting pictures of what Michael Thompson is wearing. He's dressed like a Rick James backup singer.
I don't appreciate this, Amanda. What are you doing to me? I think I look good.
By the way, I agree. Amanda, you have crazy pants like that, and I always compliment you on them.
Okay, you know, but I'm sorry. I was literally in my office with the door shut, and I look up, and I'm like, who is walking by my office in these pants? And so after I was done with my phone call, I went and I started walking around, and there's not a lot of people here, so I peek my head through the window in the studio, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Michael.
What?
Like, I would have never expected it.
I like those pants.
Tell the folks what they are.
They're Zubas.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to post a picture on my Instagram.
Jeez.
They're like zebra print.
Yeah, zebra.
It's black and white zebra. And the best part, though, is that because he's so tall, he had to have extra fabric added to the bottom. So there's like a seam at the bottom of each leg with an extra piece of fabric.
Yeah, but
well done, Michael.
This was the style when I used to go to Gold's Gym.
Now, Michael, I know that you've never paid for a pair of pants in your life, so who gave you those?
Oh, no, I looked up online because I missed my Zubas. When I was all my moves, I lost all my Zubas, Mace. And these are the most comfortable pants a man can wear, Amanda.
Yeah, they look great. They look
Amanda,
fantastic.
So if you met a guy in these, you wouldn't go out with him?
Oh, no. No chance.
Why?
No, I mean, I would think, I would say, do you need directions to the circus?
Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, honestly, I'm surprised that Julie hasn't divorced you over those pants.
Julie probably doesn't know he's wearing
them. No, she's upset. She asked me, does anybody at work see you in those? She asked me that.
You know what you should wear? You should wear one of those big clown wigs and a big nose. That would go good with those pants.
So, Michael, here's a question. With fans coming back to the Staples Center, starting with the Celtics game, are you going to dress better?
No. For what?
This only for fans.
Like, nobody sees us where we broadcast from, right? They're not going to be
by us.
But
there's going to be fans right next to us now.
Yeah, but this is maybe like a couple of hundred. So, nah. For me to have to dress up like a normal human being, I'll have to be at least 5,000 people in there.
Yeah, and what are we going to start with? Do we know what we're starting with on the 15th?
I heard 10%. What's 10% of
19,000? 1,900.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, you know, Stan Kasten said yesterday he anticipates a full Dodger Stadium by June the 15th.
Yeah.
So this thing is moving really, really fast now.
Yeah.
And there are definitely going to be fans in there for the playoffs and probably a greater number, I would think. Now, this afternoon at 3:30, Jeannie Buss is going on Spectrum Access Sportsnet or whatever. What do we call that channel? Spectrum?
Yep,
Spectrum.
Spectrum Sportsnet.
And she's going to make a big announcement. And we don't know exactly what that is, but we know she's going to make an announcement on Spectrum at 3:30. And Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa, Spock and the Jock.
Spock and the Jock.
We'll definitely have that report on exactly what Jeannie says. I wonder if they're going to do, and I don't think they've made an official announcement, if they're going to raise the banner on the 15th against the Celtics.
No,
there's something actually appropriate about it, being the Celtics are in town.
Yeah, maybe, but you should wait for a full audience to do that with 19,000 Laker fans.
But who knows when we'll have that?
The Dodgers are going to lift their banner tomorrow.
Adam Silver already said next season, full houses.
Right, but Michael.
Oh, there's no question.
Okay, so that's interesting, though, you guys. So there will be. I think that the Lakers are going to win it again, but let's say they don't. Let's say another team wins it. Would it be weird to raise a banner and celebrate if you're not the current champion?
Yeah, that would be a little awkward.
So that's why you don't wait until next year. You got to do it at some point this year.
Well, they're going to win it this year, Ireland, so they're healthy. By the way, Amanda, put a poll with that picture. Ask people, do they like it or they don't like it? I guarantee you I'll get 78% approval on my Zubas.
Well, yeah, that's just because it's you and people love you.
Yeah,
so they're going to side with you.
A lot of people think, look like Hammer pants.
They do.
MC Hammer.
I mean,
MC
it's a good
Hammer
thing.
Don't hurt him.
It's a good thing you're married, Michael, because no woman would probably go out with you wearing those pants.
I don't think anyone could take
you seriously. Disagree. I think a woman would think I'm very confident in wearing those pants.
Well, you heard Mace. You heard I asked Michael how he got Julie to go out with him. You know what he said?
What?
He said he walked up to her. He said, "I'm a Laker."
There you go.
When are
that's
we going out?
That's right. I'm a Laker. What about it?
The pants would have been the deal breaker,
that,
Michael. The pants would have been
on,
the deal breaker.
Yeah, that would have worked on you, right, Amanda?
No.
I know.
All right. Coming up next for you is Fast Track. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.